And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast. Yes, we do.
Big D and Bubba Podcast. The podcast.
Magic.
The podcast.
Magic.
Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I almost forgot something for you, Big D. There, at least something, a little gold for you. A lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear happens during warm-up. Well, you can fix that because you can put Castrol GTX Magnetech into your vehicle. It's got intelligent molecules. It coats the inside of your engine. It clings to your engine like a magnet. Get it, Magnetech. And it provides you instant protection from the moment you start. So you don't have to worry about metal-on-metal issues and all that kind of stuff. So check it out. Right?
Check it out. All right, so here we roll into
I'm out of breath.
Okay.
I was running around turning TVs on and stuff. We had it off because we were filming some commercials and things in here. And I'm like, that's bad when you're huffing and puffing for running 20 feet.
I know.
Well, I sprinted, though. I didn't just run it. I sprinted 20 feet.
All right.
God dog, man. Yes, we're doing the podcast a day early because tomorrow Big D is going to be going to a wedding immediately after the show. And you're doing, like, you're going on this trip, but are you in the wedding or is this like a family thing?
No, I'm not in it, but I am going. So it's, you know, No, I don't know anyone who I think you'd like to go to a wedding, like maybe your first or couple, two or whatever. After that, I mean, if it's not your wedding, who wants to really go to it?
Who likes to go to weddings?
Really? Who likes to go to a wedding?
My wife. My wife loves going to weddings.
Oh.
Yeah. But, I'm not a big wedding goer. Like, I don't like going to weddings, and I don't like going to funerals. I mean, and the options are, you know, obviously go to the wedding, because it's much more fun than going to a funeral. And that's the only time you ever get family together. Like, we have a big wedding coming up in October that I have to go to. Remember, I got to take that day off.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man. I mean, it's good. I get to go and see everybody. But at the same time, it's so hectic.
Yeah.
Especially like a travel wedding that you have to go somewhere, a destination. Yeah. Like, we have friends of ours that just went to Cozumel for a wedding.
That's crazy, man. That's just crazy. Yeah. But I mean, I guess you're already at your honeymoon, right? So there's that.
But do you want your friends at your honeymoon?
Yeah. Well, and you're going to make everyone travel all that way?
That's what happened.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get that. So you're not in it. You're just going. You're going to hang out, and that's really it.
Yes, that's it. Going to have some cheese curds.
Oh, it's a Wisconsin wedding.
No, it's a Minnesota wedding.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Better than squeaky cheese curds. And I had lunch with a friend of mine yesterday, Lewis. You know Lewis. He's been on the podcast with us before. But we were eating. He goes, hey, you want some fried cheese curds? I'm like, no, you don't fry cheese curds.
I mean, they're pretty good. Fried cheese curds aren't bad. But
it's not the same.
No, it's not. Squeaky. Regular cheese curds and curds are way better.
Squeakier the better.
Yeah.
And when they're fried, they don't squeak.
No, they don't.
I mean, if that's the case, you might as well just get fried cheese.
I tell you what's great. You should take the cheese and you melt it a little bit, and it kind of gets all the oil kind of comes out.
Cool. And you drink the oil?
Nah, well, yeah. I was thinking, that sounds awful. Don't say it. Oh, yeah, I do.
There was a place, when I used to live in El Paso, there was a place, and I've told you about this. It's Chico's Tacos, and they have these little rolled tacos. It's a hard shell rolled taco. It's almost like a flauta, but they put it in this juice, and it was pure grease. Like, uh-huh. You could see the
like
different,
brown.
Like, you see circles on the top where things like the water and the grease didn't mix, and the flautas would soak in it, right?
Yes.
So what I would do is you have to eat it with a fork because you don't want to put your fingers in there, but you let your flautas kind of soak and soften up a little bit, and then you just eat them, and they're great. Eat them with a fork. But you're left with about an inch of grease on the, and I'm not kidding. When I say an inch of grease, it might be a half an inch if I'm exaggerating. You have this pool of grease on the bottom. So you take all your French fries and you just dump your fries in there.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude. You have no idea. You put your fries in there, and you let them soak for a couple minutes. And they're like they're drowning in the in this grease.
Like you've already, you know they, that's how they make fries. Like they,
yeah,
you put them in hot grease. So then you take them out of the hot grease. And
why
just
take
put
them out? Why take them out? If it's perfect. I mean, look, there's a reason we put them in grease in the, for the first place because it's better. And then you get this, and it's just like, oh my gosh!
I can only
if you're
so much
ever
of that,
in El Paso, you just have to stop El Paso, Texas, Chico's Tacos. I think it's on Montana Boulevard. I don't know Montana Avenue or whatever. I forget. It's been a long time since I went, but it's worth it. Just ask. Say, where's Chico's? And they'll point you because everybody
Mexican
knows.
Food your go-to?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, like Mexican food and Mediterranean food are similar in the fact that they only use about five ingredients and they're just put in different ways. You know, it's, you know, lamb, gyro, cucumber.
What? Lamb and what?
Like the...
The gyro?
You say gyro?
No, you said gyro.
It's not pronounced gyro either.
I know. I was making a joke. It's gyro.
Whatever. You know what I meant. That, by the way, that's a word that can go either way, right?
No, no. You have to pronounce it right.
But they all use kind of the same, you know, feta cheese. And then Mexican food, it's beans, rice, cheese, meat. Tortillas.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I always,
and chips are just tortillas.
You fried. Know, you say that Mediterranean's like that. I always felt like Mexican food and... Asian food are very similar. You have
basically the same
ingredients,
that's right.
Just done a different way.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
And I'm really
thinking,
hungry now.
Are all foods that way? Or and we just don't realize, like, what's the American thing? If I was to tell you American food is, only has five ingredients, what would they be? Potatoes, meat.
I was going to say pizza, burgers, and I know you're like, that's not an ingredient, but it is to me. Yeah, potatoes, meat.
Corn.
Yeah, got to go with corn. Hi, Carson. Really, I mean, just about anything.
Yeah, I don't
think
it really
works. The wonderful
thing
about
that.
America is we're the melting pot. We are where everybody comes to assimilate and become this bigger thing, which is better than that. We're like the sum of our parts, you know?
But the bad thing is...
The space shuttle can't fly with only one wing. So you get all this stuff together, and next thing you know, you have this amazing thing. Mm. And that's what I love the most about it, because you have Creole Mexican restaurants, and you're like, wait a minute, you can't do that until you taste it, and you go, oh... Oh, yeah.
I just don't like it when we Americanize foods. Chinese food is totally Americanized. Like, that's not Chinese food.
Well, it depends on where you go. I go to this place where the family is Taiwanese, and I order this. It's beef noodle soup, but it's on the, they have two menus. They have one that's in Mandarin, and then they have another menu that's for Americans.
Yeah.
And I always say, I want the beef noodle soup from the good menu. And they always look every single time. And I've eaten this place 30 times. Every single time they go, you sure? You sure that's the one you want? I'm like, yeah. This one, I'm pointing like to the number. This one right here. And they're like, do you know what's in that? And I'm like, yes.
What is in it?
It's like beef tendons and things like that. It's like stuff that Americans don't eat. Like, but beef tendons don't bug. It's not gross. It's just beef tendon.
Well, I believe the American craze with sushi... started because some sushi chef in like the late 70s or something put together the California roll to try to convince people to start eating because the idea, like, oh, you're gonna eat raw fish, everybody turned up their nose. So he made, I believe, the California roll is an American invention, and the idea was to get us to actually try some form of sushi and move right along.
So California rolls are the gateway sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like sushi. Y'all like sushi?
I love sushi,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I do.
I love. And it's funny because I got my brother-in-law to eat some the other day. I was like, dude, you tried
Tim?
Your first. Yeah, Tim ate sushi.
Tim ate sushi?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, here's Tim. How big a boy are you?
Yeah, he ate sushi for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude, what do you think? And he's like, tastes raw.
My mother,
that's Tim.
When I said something to my mom, oh, what'd you do the other night? Well, when I was, some of my friends went to go get sushi. And she just, what? What do you mean you're eating sushi?
Your mom doesn't eat sushi?
No, she's like, who are you?
She was very culturally open.
She's very Connecticut, which I'm not sure is the same thing. But, like, she's, I mean, She was very put off. Like, wait, what do you mean? You're eating sushi? Who are you? Who raised you? The fact that I eat avocado is weird to her.
Really?
She's like, oh, I just don't understand how you can eat that. Like, it grows on a tree. It's very, like, that is just not in her palate. I don't even know the word for it, but Mom, try avocado. It doesn't even taste like anything. Nope. I don't want to go near that. Oh, okay.
Does she eat biscuits and gravy?
She might eat a biscuit. She's not putting gravy on it. No.
That's... Your mom is almost un-American. I mean, that's strange.
We are from Connecticut. We're pretty close.
Yeah, wow.
We're getting way back over to England. It won't do. She'll eat biscuits with, like, butter. I do that.
But yeah, biscuits and gravy with a white gravy. Oh.
But again, I wasn't raised with that. I mean, I'm sure they have it in Connecticut. I just never saw it. So, no, that was it. But, yeah, sushi was like, nope.
Okay, what was the go-to food in your household growing up? Your mom, it was like this is her standby. Anytime she needed to make dinner, this is what usually popped up.
Some form of pasta because she's descended from Italian. So she's not like off the boat Italian or anything, but that's the majority of her heritage is Italian.
You look so Italian to me.
I was thinking that.
We are Northern Italian, which is, I have no idea what that even
means.
That's
like Swiss Italian.
Yeah, my grandmother would make comments about that. They're like, oh, we're Northern Italian. I don't know what that means, Grandma. Don't we still eat pasta? So I'm cool. Like, it's fine. But yeah, my mom, she's a fantastic cook and makes her own sauce and the whole thing. But that's our go-to is Italian food. Because it's easy, too. I mean, you throw a box of pasta in boiling water. Even I can't screw that up.
What about you, Dee? What's your food that, like, your mom, growing up, it was always popping up?
Well, I always remember that we were always canning, so that the smell of boiling water and cans and, you know, just kind of a fresh smell of vegetables in the kitchen, but... you know, I have that recipe book that my mom did before she passed away, and I keep it. And it's great to open it up and look at your mom's recipes. Lard is in there, molasses.
Where do you even buy lard?
Yeah, you can get it. I don't know. I haven't bought it, but maybe we used to get that Crisco, that white Crisco, which I think is kind of isn't that kind of like lard? I mean,
I thought so. Is it? Or it's the same kind of?
I don't know. I've never had, I don't think in my entire adult life that I've ever had a recipe that called for lard. So I've never had to look.
Do you know what's kind of cool, though, is lard is making a comeback. I watch way too much Food Network, and they do a lot of shows where they'll take you to restaurants in hip happening neighborhoods all over the country. And there's a lot of folks now that are getting into the comfort food stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are using, they're like, nope, we put lard in because that's what's going to taste like you remember it.
Well, that's what I was going to say is when my mom made a bunch of recipes, kind of the same thing, not a book form like Big D's. I just got a bunch of notebook papers, but all of hers, instead of putting anything, she would just write and Crisco.
Yeah.
So she didn't write like lard. So I don't know if it's the same thing.
Well, I'm just looking it up. Lard is pig fat. Mm-hmm. It's high in cholesterol. Most shortening is made from vegetables.
But is it good cholesterol or the bad stuff?
I think it's bad. I think it's bad cholesterol.
No, there's two. There's like HDL, LDL.
Right, but I think like pig fat lard is bad for you.
I would think
you.
If it's natural, it might be good. Oh.
That's what I think. I think the bad stuff is like the Crisco. It says, example, Crisco is generally flavorless. The big difference is probably most noticed in pie crust. The more shortening or lard in a crust, the flakier the crust will be.
Really?
Crisco is hydrogenated.
Hydrogenated?
Hydrogenated.
It's Criscified.
Criscified.
Oh, I apologize. Lard is lower in saturated fat than other animal fats.
Mm-hmm.
Higher so in heart-healthy monounsaturated fat, the time that gives olive oil its health halo.
So lard is actually better for you. And who knew?
According to what I'm reading in Google.
All this time, like, you know, you always had people say, you know, lard is bad and all this kind of stuff, and it's actually healthier.
Yeah, there was a big
like shift.
Shift, you're right. Thank you. Probably, I guess, when the 60s and 70s were trying to get very convenient and, you know,
prepackaged.
Everything was, and it turned into a, that's why we have so many chemicals in our foods now.
It's not about convenience. It's about preservation, making food last.
Last longer.
And that's good.
Because it sits on the shelf.
Honestly, we waste 40% of the food in America gets wasted. And that's with all the preservatives we have, and that's with, you know, but it's just a byproduct of a society that's not hungry.
Have you watched the TV show Adam Ruins Everything?
I love it.
He did one about weight loss last week, and it addresses sugar versus fat. And back in the 50s, there was a campaign reportedly from, like, sugar companies, and it was trying to push us all to a low-fat diet that, oh, fat's bad for you, fat's bad. But here, eat something that says low fat, even though it's chock full of sugar. And he goes through the whole history, and he's much better at it. But it's one of
the things. Oh, well, no, but have you seen What the Health? That's the new thing on Netflix.
Everybody's
it says the
in
exact
that.
Opposite. It says that that's a scam. That sugar's really not that bad for you and doesn't cause diabetes. It's really just fat.
I would like to know who
diabetes.
Funded that.
Yeah,
I
mean, just, exactly.
You can always watch anything. Like, I was at the movies. We went and saw Dunkirk, and before the movie, they played the Inconvenient Truth Part 2 thing. And you just go, yeah, well, that conflicts some other stuff I just read on the internet. You
the
know,
thing
you
about
always...
what the health that drives me nuts is that it's clearly vegans trying to push an agenda. And all
it
of
worked
the
on
science,
Big D once.
It worked on him. That was forks over knives. And that, and I could see holes in that. And if you do any research, and D eventually did the research and was like,
no, I just got tired of it.
Just got tired of being a vegan. I was trying to give him credit.
I wanted meat. But
it's just,
a friend
of
mine went vegan because of What the Health. And now he won't shut up about it.
But the problem is,
all over
first
Facebook.
Of all, the most basic problem with anything you read about nutrition is that none of it is a blanket solution for everybody. None of it. Everyone's body chemistry and metabolism and everything is different. Okay?
I know what's best for you.
Well, yeah. What works for me will not work for you and will not work for that guy. And being vegan is not the best solution for everyone. It is not. But
it was great for the girl on Alone last season. Do you guys ever watch Alone?
I've never heard of it.
Alone is that show on the
One
History
of these
Channel
naked
where they
and Afraid type shows.
But it's
okay.
Not like Naked and Afraid. They have 10
it's
items
totally different.
And they put them on Vancouver Island or whatever, and they let them, you know, basically it's the last one standing wins $500,000, whatever.
Do you get to wear clothes?
Yeah, you get to wear clothes. Okay. You get to But it's great because like it really before like this season there's two. Like you get to go in as a team. Like you and I would be there trying to survive together. Mm-hmm. But before the season, it was crazy watching these people lose their mind without human contact because they're by themselves. There's nobody within 15 miles. Without human contact, after like 10 days, they start getting weird. And they start looking at the camera all like, and they make these weird little, weird, like, soul-searching things that they've discovered about themselves, but they're not things that you could ever take back into the real world because they're just crazy. And it was such a good show. Watching them lose their mind was half of the show. This new season is good with the,
but if
the
you've
teams,
got people,
but they're not losing their minds.
Yeah. It's not
they're
like they're
going to
create a new Wilson
right.
Like from Castle.
Anyway, you brought all this up because of a woman who was a vegan.
Mm. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, the woman on the show was vegan.
You were going to say something about
on
that,
Alone.
And then squirrel, and then we'd totally...
Us? What?
All right, well...
We never get off on tangents. What's the matter, Big D?
I thought you were going to finish what you were going to say.
You still never finished what you were saying.
What part?
The woman on the show Alone
was
a vegan.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, she was amazing. No, she was... Everybody was starving because they couldn't catch fish, and they couldn't kill rats, and they couldn't eat. So this lady was a vegan, so she knew, like, all the plants to eat. And so, like, everybody starved. Actually, she was a pescatarian because she ate fish. But she would have, like, a little fish and then, like, a whole entire giant salad tray of other stuff. She's like, I'm fine. And she lost, like, 5 pounds over the months that she was there.
Compared to everybody else losing
40 and 50 and
Man, I need to
dying.
Do that show.
I know. Can we go on that
I just
show?
Need to go on that show and lose, like, 45 pounds.
It was great.
But you gain it back.
Well, the funny thing is,
you know, it's like,
I know, but I only need one picture of me thin.
She quit the
show. Hey, we discovered this week there's apps for that.
She quit the show, by the way, before she won. She's like about to win it, and she goes, yeah, you know what? I'm out here and I'm bored. I don't need the money.
I need my phone.
I'm done.
Need the money.
She's like, I think it was just greed getting to me that I wanted to get this money and buy a bunch of land because she lived by herself anyway. She's like, I think it's greed and I don't need more land. I'm just going to go back to the land I'm homesteading on and, you know, whatever.
All right.
And I'm like, you were about to win this. You are crazier than I thought.
How much does it pay out?
It was like $500,000.
I thought it was $1 million.
What?
For a loan season one, wasn't it $1 million?
I don't remember what her payout was, but I know like this season's $500,000.
Oh my gosh. More is good.
Yeah.
What's wrong with
more
that?
Of everything is great. Oh, more key lime pie last night. I had my piece and Stacy's piece.
Oh, but that diet you're on.
Yeah, the diet that Bubba's supposedly on.
Well, you know, last night it didn't count.
Yesterday at lunch, he told the waitress he was on a diet, and she looked at him with this look of like, you just ordered 50 chicken wings or whatever it was.
It was 20.
20. But I'm on a diet.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm eating clean.
Paleo.
I'm eating
now,
clean.
I do. Okay. That's the problem. I'm not eating clean right now because I got a weekend where we're gonna be.
Oh yeah, it's always at? Taking the
Dude,
weekend off.
Like,
I'm gonna take a lot of weekends off.
You don't know
is
you've only got a year and a half of this. This has been going on for a decade.
I do take a lot of weekends
coming up,
off.
So I'm gonna eat cookie dough. It's Tuesday. I'm just gonna go ahead and eat the cookie dough now.
I mean, the weekend's coming.
Weekend's coming. I might as well. I'm going to get a whole cookie cake and see if I can save half of it.
This hurts my heart.
I've heard, Carson, how many times that Patrick and I have heard this right here? Man.
I fell off the wagon this weekend.
I went and I got a tub of cookie dough.
I ate it on the way home.
I get tubes, not a tub.
I ate the whole tube of cookie dough. On the way home, I ate the whole thing, man.
Sometimes you just gotta.
I mean,
no,
sometimes,
really? I've never done that.
Sometimes you just gotta. And then he'll say, another thing that Bubba's saying is, hey, what's up? Oh, man. I sat down to put my shoes on this morning and fell asleep in the closet.
I've done that many times.
Just man, where were you? I had to go poop.
I've fallen asleep on the toilet, right?
I have fallen asleep on the toilet
where you lean up because, like, in my bathroom, in my bedroom, it's a little toilet closet, you know? So I'll get in there and I'll lean up against the wall, get comfy, and man. Next thing you know,
I mean, I have fallen asleep in the shower.
I did this week. I fell asleep in the shower.
But I've never done that.
I don't remember waking up being in the shower, but I either fell asleep in the shower or I took a 25-minute shower for no reason.
How do y'all do that? You sit down, obviously.
No. I was just standing there, man.
I think I just leaned against the wall.
What?
Yeah, so yeah, I don't think I'm weird.
How do you not collapse?
I don't know. It was just...
Your knees.
Like horses?
I had one of those weeks where I got 2 hours of sleep every night. Because it was some weird job I was doing. And I was in the shower, and I think I just kind of leaned against it for a second. Like, because the water will feel good beating down your head. And next thing I know, I was like,
what was that noise?
And you don't know if you've been asleep for 5 seconds or 5 minutes. You really don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the one place your phone can't get to you. So if it's been going off, I don't know. And people are, I mean, it was only, same thing. It could have been a couple seconds, could have been a couple minutes, but I fell asleep in the shower.
Wow. See, I'm not weird.
No, you're weird.
Well, you did it on the toilet. That's an old.
Toilets are cozy, man. Your legs fall asleep. Next thing you know, your head falls asleep. Don't even tell me your legs have never fallen asleep on the toilet. There is not a single one of you that can tell me. Nope, well, maybe not, Carson. Carson can get away with it. But there's not a single guy whose leg has not fallen asleep on the toilet. Liars. Your leg has never
none
fallen
of us,
asleep.
None of us know what the hell you're talking about.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Oh, you
about.
Do?
Of course. Hey, Bob, how about this? When your leg falls asleep, and you know it is, and you're like, and so you kind of adjust, so thinking it'll kind of reset and go back to where it was awake, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then in doing that, you don't pay attention to the other leg.
And it
goes to sleep. And then to get up, you have to like... You have to like put yourself on the walls and kind of like shimmy up like you're a ninja.
Like you're doing an American Ninja Warrior.
Like you're one of those things. And you get up and you're like, oh, and then you go to the sink and you wash your hands. Okay, you're Frankenstein walking, okay?
Right.
You got to club foot it. And then
I can't believe you've never done that. You guys.
No.
Oh,
liars.
So here's how it goes. So then it's a race to as fast as you can after you wash your hands, get on the bed. Because that's when you start getting the tickles and the laughs, you know? You know what I'm talking about? You're like, you start laughing because your feet are asleep. So you got to lay on the bed and just let it reset.
What's laughing?
Well, you get like, the tingles. The tingles that make you laugh. The blood starts
you said tickles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think, yeah.
But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your feet
I'm
are
just
tingling.
Never coming out of the bathroom.
Never?
No.
Well, see, I get in there and I, that's where I, it's funny because I used to read magazines in there. Mm-hmm. And I would even a book, I bring books in there. And that's how I would finish the book is I would read a chapter at a time because it was the only place I could ever get away long enough in private to read.
See, this is why. Like, I'm not married with kids. So I don't have to spend that much time in the bathroom.
Oh,
so maybe that's why it's.
Maybe like, that's it.
Do you have a squatty potty still?
I do. And I still
love
it.
Does it make your feet, your legs fall asleep?
It depends on if you're in there for a while. You know, I think the toilet seat is what does it, not the squatty potty, which is why I have the Big John seat too.
But it brings it up, and I was thinking it would take the pressure off your legs.
No, because it puts it in a different spot. I mean, depending on how you, I mean, if you put your toes up, or you kind of tippy toeing, they'll still kind of get you.
You swear by that thing, huh?
I don't swear by it, but when I go places that don't have it, I miss it. I don't know why, I just do. Because it's like a very comfortable position.
You're off camera.
Oh, hi everybody.
Yeah. I had to cut the short.
Nobody wanted to see me while I was explaining the squatty potty.
He swears by it, man. I kind of go, it makes you think.
And I got that Big John seat, which is awesome. Instead of having a skinny toilet seat, it's an extra inch wider. So, no, I'm just saying, I have big legs, man.
Before you know it, you're going to have handicap rails.
Bars?
Yeah.
No, but it's not for weight or nothing. It's just, it's comfortable. And it's taller. And it makes my seat taller. And the whole, it's the best toilet seat ever.
Hey, would you buy, if they made something, you could hit a button and like a rope came out of the ceiling and you could use it to pull yourself off.
Yes, I would totally do that.
I would do. I think in my next house, I'm going to have a urinal and I'm also going to have a rope that comes out of the bathroom ceiling so I can pull myself off the toilet.
Yeah.
Dude, isn't that the best, right?
Carson, you don't know. I just don't know.
You
dude,
we can
finish radio and be contractors for just fat dudes who want to build a house. All right. Hey, I want to build a house. Aren't you guys who wants to do urinals and bathroom ropes? That's us. Cool. All right.
We got to call them raise ropes because it's got a little bit of alliteration.
Yeah.
Make sure you jump on your raise rope. Oh, yeah. All right. Pull yourself up.
Right, listen.
And every time you do it, the pitfall theme from Atari plays. And you jump up, and it's great.
We're going to call you guys Big Guys Building.
Big Guys Building. Oh! Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So, hey, Bubba, what kind of rope is it? Is it like a I keep thinking it's like rappelling, like that kind of a rope.
Yeah, it's got to be good cordage. It can't be like construction rope or something they tie.
I feel like it should be thicker rope, though. Like the ropes that used to climb in gym class.
Well, what you do
like
is...
to really...
Oh, yeah, the big... Yeah,
you put some loops in it at strategic spots, like every, 8 or 9 inches, you have a little loop so you can grab the loop.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of grabbing the rope, you grab the handhold, and you can just pull your way up if you'd like.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, the bathroom rope. God, that's
the brope.
Awesome. Ah,
brope. And it's for guys. The brope.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah, it's a bro. It's a rope. It's a bathroom. It's brope.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The Hunter says, make it like a winch so it pulls you up. That's the premium model.
Yeah, because, we still, listen, we're not invalids. We're still going to pull our own weight up, but a winch, I get it. And we should have it available for like
it's
our dads.
It's an add-on.
My mom has one of those seats on her stairs that you sit on, like in the movies.
Like in Gremlins?
Yes, like in Gremlins. She has one. And like every time we go visit, the kids are like, oh, God, Dad, can I get on her chair? I'm like, get on her chair. Thanks. And they get so excited.
It's like
it'll be like that.
How about the people at Walmart that we saw yesterday who are driving around those little carts and they don't even need them?
No. Mm-mm.
I'm going to start doing that.
And the guy was like, yeah, people do it all the time, man. And then they get out and they just leave them.
Leave
in
them.
The middle of the aisle.
Yeah.
People are terrible. I hate people.
Same.
I don't hate people.
I do.
I like... I love how you guys are like, I do, at the same exact time.
Oh, man. For the most part, people are cool, man. I don't have a problem. We once you work at Walmart and you get a taste of what people are really like in America, there's no way that doesn't change you.
No.
And I would also say a McDonald's worker, a fast food worker.
Any sort of customer service. Any kind of stuff.
I'm telling you, it's got to change you.
If you're on the phones
you just
in a customer service position, you know, whether, like, let's say you work for like a utility or whatever it may be, like a phone company, someone's calling in to complain because they dropped their phone in the toilet and you should replace it for free. Mm-hmm. Like anything where you're dealing with just people at large can be awful.
Yeah.
Can be terrible.
We don't get a whole lot of it.
I'm not showing you that.
Oh, okay.
We do get some. Well, we get people who are just terrible people. And you know, the good thing about, well, it's good and bad. The good thing is that what we offer is free. There is, you know, you're not paying for it, so we don't feel like, you know. But at the other same time, we also need you, you know, to be listening. You know, we still need – so, but you get to a point where we just – yeah, if you're super stupid, we're just going to punt and go, well, you know, turn it off. Listen to something else.
Yeah. How many times have we gone, hey, Patrick, take this call? And we always, the dumb ones, you know, they're the people who complain just because they want to complain. And you know those people. Again, you've seen them at every store. You know exactly who that person is. They're just looking for the attention and they want to get something for free out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're like, here, Patrick, here you go. Take line 5.
And he'll pick it up and he'll go, this is what he does. It's on hold.
Now, we're like, we don't want to be rude. So we hand him off to Patrick.
He picks up and he goes, hey, all right. Well, hey, thanks for calling, huh? Butt click.
That's it, man. So funny because.
And we're like, remember we made that mistake. We're like, dude, what did you just do? He goes, what? I just said thing. I was nice. I'm like, no. Okay. All right. Now we know how you handle it. So, all right. Be careful. Now that's what that's our go-to now.
I just want to try to return the area.
Okay. Well, you know, we got a lot of different people who have to.
I'm just trying to return.
Well, I know, but, you know, we can't play every song for every single person, right? So, okay. Hey, Patrick. she gets. Okay, I'm finally getting to someone. And then she gets, okay, well, thanks for calling. Have a good one, Click.
I have my secrets. Don't tell the secrets.
It's too late. It's out there.
And then she just sits there and she's going, hello? Hello?
She's still talking to the phone.
Right. Dang it. Why are you doing this?
Dude, it needs to be told.
I remember the first time you did it and we were like.
Both of us had this. I looked at Big D. I'm like.
What?
And he looked at me with the same look, and we're like,
"What are you doing, man?" He's like, "What? I was nice, and you
nice,
you were,
and
brief,
efficient,
get off, efficient. You got to, man. It's always polite. All right, well, hey, thanks so much for calling. Done."
So if you ever get that,
Hey,
if we ever tell you, if we ever go, oh, listen here, we'll put you into Patrick. You might as well just go ahead and hang up.
save yourself the 8 seconds.
You know what the difference is? They're too nice. They want to just sit there and keep listening. I'm like,
oh, Patrick gets mad.
You wait for
I'll
that
be in here. I'll be in here and I'll be listening to somebody complain, and Patrick's over in the corner going.
Yeah, give it to me.
Waving an airliner in, but he's like, grr.
I guarantee you, she paused 4 times already. You could have jumped in. Well, and the next thing you know, well, and I tell you what, thank you so much for calling. You have a great day, all right? Click.
Oh, you are such a ninja.
I know.
It's like an old lady, and she's really mad. You throw in a have a blessed day. You just throw that one out there. You know. All right, well, have a blessed day. Click. Listen, man, they never know what happened to them.
Sometimes people just want to be, they just want to
angry?
Talk. Well, they just want to talk. And
some woman called in the other day specifically to tell me that I was petty and small, which I thought was kind of petty for her to call
up
and tell me that.
Petty
and
I was that
like,
woman.
Well, what are we doing here? Like, this is now we're just trading pettiness. And I was like, well, I appreciate your opinion and you have a great day.
You know, I've gotten a lot of, over the years, I get a lot of people reaching out to me on my personal email or Twitter or Instagram or whatever to tell me some perspective on something I said, but it has been more in the last month than probably in all the years since I first got divorced. And we talked about my divorce on the air. A lot of people want to talk to you about that when you start telling that story. But now the last month with this thing with Becca reaching out and we didn't know if she was real and how's it, oh my God, people are just coming out of the woodworks to give me their opinion or tell me their story that was similar to that.
I'm telling you, a lot of people have had bad experiences meeting somebody
over the internet.
Oh, man. I've had bad experiences with it. We all have. Carson?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys are so lucky you never had to deal with that.
The internet was dial-up. When we met our wives, it was dial-up, and nobody would have ever tried to date while doing dial-up. Dial-up dating would have sucked.
Well, when you remember...
You guys have the swipe right thing, and we didn't have that.
No, we didn't have that.
But when the internet was in like dial-up stage and people were meeting in chat rooms, it was kind of before there were dating sites. But that was the biggest...
That was the weirdest thing.
It was a joke.
Remember the first time someone told you they met someone online?
And you looked at them like they were a space alien?
Yes.
Oh, there was for a while, it was like, you what? That was a punchline. And now that's how everyone does it.
It's literally how everyone meets.
So I have a
trailblazer,
but
there's still
that you take that quick pause. Like, where'd you guys meet? Online, because
still not sure. But
people who were younger than we are, it's absolutely how you meet folks. It's just that we still remember that time. Like, oh, you met in a chat room? Like, what's wrong with you?
Chat rooms, you got to get right.
Yeah, I got to roll.
Okay, you roll. ICQ, remember that?
Oh, I do.
ICQ. Yeah, and then we had. What are the other ones? We had AIM, ICQ.
CompuServe.
Oh.
What was the
CompuServe was like AOL, but it got beat by AOL.
ICQ
was cool because you could see it as you're typing.
Yes,
you
that was
like when you typed the letters to spell it like hello, you'd see H-E-L-L.
Dude, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
Because we live in a society of perfecting what we want to say.
We live in a society where we look at the three little bubbles.
Uh-huh.
The three little bubbles, and we go, okay, they don't get to see this until I'm done.
One last thing I'm going to leave. There's a, we call it a, is it a GIF or a GIF?
GIF.
GIF.
The official name is GIF.
Like
I still say GIF.
All right, so there's a GIF that I had. It was of, it looked like those little three bubbles, like look like you're typing
in iMessage. I don't know, you guys might not know because you're droids.
Yeah, but in iPhone, it looks, you can tell when someone's typing because there's little buttons, little dots that go do 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 do. And so I sent it to Lee Bryce one time, and so it looked like, because he and I were texting, and then I'd sent that, and I didn't type anything else. A week later, he texts me back and goes, "Hey man, are you still typing?"
That's evil, bro.
That's so great.
That is evil. And he'd,
been, he'd been checking to see if you were going to ever finish.
Like every
message.
Day he'd go back and see if I was finished. And if I was like, "Hey, man, are you still typing?" I was like, "No." And then I go, "You can save it." He goes, "Oh, my God, I'd get my wife on that. That's awesome."
All right. Well, a lot can go wrong in 20 minutes, and your car's engine is no different. Up to 75% of engine wear. What, Big D?
Nothing. I was going to scare Patrick.
Oh,
yeah,
oh I'm
job.
Sorry. Well, you did this. You went on. So I'm like, what? Okay. Anyway, it's true, man. Up to 75% of engine wear happens at the very beginning, right when you're doing your warm-up. So protect your engine from the start. Castrol GTX Magnatec, they've got intelligent molecules. We actually have it in our cars and everything, too. So it clings to the inside of your engine like a magnet, protects your the metal from getting metal-on-metal contact, and gives you instant protection from the moment you start. And thank you for another fun podcast. Bye.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.